Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for, Lord, just your faithfulness to this fellowship. Thank you for another year, Lord, that we can look forward to and all that you're going to do, Lord. Surely 2020 was kind of an interesting year, but Lord, we know that you continue to be on the throne. And Lord, nothing surprises you, Lord, that you're right on time, right on target, Lord. And so we want to follow you however you lead. And so I just pray your anointing upon this next year coming before us, Lord. I pray that you would be lifted up by this fellowship and that you would do your perfect work in and through each one, Lord, that is part of this fellowship. So I pray, Lord, now that you would anoint your word, that you would minister to each one that's tuned into the live stream and through your word, that you would build us up, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 2 Peter chapter 3. I titled this message, Knowing the Time. Now, I'm going to read through the whole to start off with, but just this title we're going to use to kind of pivot into our introduction after we read through the whole. And just want to tuck this in the back of your mind, this question I'm going to ask you, right? Knowing the time. Do we know the time of Jesus' return? Do we know the time? All right, knowing the time. Okay, we're going to look at that. That's what I titled this message, and we'll look at that right after we read the whole. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Let's read together. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God together. 2 Peter chapter 3, right there at verse 1, Peter records this. He says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. Verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? Verse 4. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved, verse 7, by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's ask the Lord to bless the teaching of his word one more time. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. May you unravel this word for us. May you bless it, Lord. May you speak a word of prophecy to each one that is receiving the word this morning, Lord. May you anoint the teaching, Lord. May you increase as I decrease, Lord. Help me to decrease. Help me to just decrease to the point where only you are speaking, Lord. Lord, we come to hear you, not any person. So may you just have your way with your word. May you fulfill your perfect work in each person as they receive the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. Okay, so knowing the time. So what's the answer? Can we know the time when Jesus returns? The time or the hour? The day? Well, Jesus clearly says, and we're going to see this, right? If you said yes, you're wrong. If you say no, we don't know the time, you're right. But I want to qualify this a little bit by going to some cross-references in Scripture. But clearly Jesus said that we are not going to know the time or the hour of his return. Now his second, right? His second coming, his return, right? And so knowing the time, it's a good question, right? But we ought to know what the signs of the time, and this is what Jesus gave us to really recognize the signs of the time, the signs of his coming again. And so again, we're going to cross-reference a couple places in the New Testament about that. But I want to talk a little bit about this word knowing or knowledge. Remember, as we've been studying 2 Peter, right? One of the key themes, actually the key theme, is knowledge, right? Remember that? Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the truth. Because when we know the truth, we'll know the lie. We'll know the counterfeit. Now, how do we come to know the truth? We have to know the person of Jesus Christ and God, right? No. Notice in chapter 1, verse 2, I want to read that again to you. That's one of the fundamental verses in 2 Peter. It's knowing God and knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we know God and we know our Lord Jesus Christ, we know the truth, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, that's an exclusive statement, right? No one comes to the Father. No one comes to heaven but by Jesus Christ, right? But what kind of precedes that whole objective, that very, very clear, exclusive teaching, is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, right? So we know that Jesus, he's not only the truth, he's the way, right? And he's the life. And so knowing Jesus, knowing God, means that you're going to know the truth. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, Peter highlights that. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So knowing God, knowing Jesus means to know the truth. And it's the truth that what? Sets us free. We've noted this, right? And so when we know the truth, we're what? We're liberated. But when we don't know the truth, we're in bondage. And that's what the false teachers are trying to what? To perpetrate to us, right? Is to get us to follow the lie. And remember these false teachers. Remember we looked at them. That term Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist, it's not only against Christ, teaching the ways that are contrary to Christ, but it's one that looks just like the Christ. It's a counterfeit, right? And so how do we know the counterfeit? Well, we must know and handle the real. And so knowing Jesus intimately, right? Not just in our heads, but with our hearts too, right? A relationship with Jesus. As we know Jesus, we come to know the truth. And because we come to know the truth, we'll know the lie. We'll know the counterfeit. But it has to be a knowledge, not just in our minds, not just scholastically, but relationally, right? So we've highlighted that. That's a key theme. And remember, we noted this, that in 2 Peter, just three chapters, we're going to finish it next week, right? We're going to finish this whole letter in about maybe a month and a half, right? We've been doing maybe a half chapter a week. So we'll finish 2 Peter next week. But one of the key words is used is knowledge. That's the key theme. It's used some 13 times in these three short chapters, right? So surely knowledge is very important, but it's knowledge of Jesus, knowledge of God, knowledge of the truth. And again, one of the sub-themes is now the warnings against these false teachers, right? Their false doctrine, these false prophets. And we're going to see that theme is going to continue all the way through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude. One of the key themes in those books, as well as 2nd Peter chapter 2 on, is a warning against false teachers and false prophets. But that's all prefaced by knowledge of the truth, right? Knowing the truth will set us on a course to spot the counterfeit and the lie. Okay, so knowledge of the truth. So knowing the Lord. But then, as I mentioned, the title this morning is knowing the time. Knowing the time of Christ's return. Now, we don't know the exact day or the hour, right? We don't know that. Jesus said that. But we ought to know the signs of the time. And really what's connected to the return of Christ is knowing the time, right? The signs of the time. And Jesus gave us a lot of teaching on that. Not only the Lord, but it's also prophesied in the Old Testament. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Right, it says that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles. And so the teaching on the second coming, when Jesus will rule and reign, was spoken by the prophets in the Old Testament and also by the apostles. So we ought to know the signs of the time, right? And these are the signs of the time that are connected to his return. And so I want you to mark that, right? No one knows the exact day or hour, but we ought to know the signs because the signs point to his return, right? And so because of this, I want to cross-reference to some of Jesus' words first, right? I want to take you to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and I want to take you to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 and look at this from verses 36 through 44. Matthew 24, it's in the Olivet Discourse, and Jesus gave us some direction on this, okay? So go all the way back to here. The first, The first book of your New Testament, the first gospel, Matthew, and go to Matthew chapter 24, and this is what is known as the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse means from the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave a discourse, and it had to do with latter days, end times, right? Eschatology, latter day fulfillment of when Jesus returns. Okay, so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44 specifically. Okay, again, the context is these latter days when Jesus is teaching about his return. Okay, he's teaching this from the Mount of Olives. All right, so Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So he's teaching about when he returns, nobody knows the exact day or the exact hour. So if you answered no, knowing the time, nobody knows, right? We can't know the time, then you're correct. But I want to qualify this. The reason why we don't know the time of his return is because we don't know the time of the rapture. Okay, so I want to mark that to you. Now, if we did know the time of the rapture, let's say the rapture occurred today, do we know the time of his return? Well, yeah, because it's 7 years from that time. Right? At the rapture, what happens is what? 7 year tribulation, and then he returns with those he raptured 7 years prior with the church, and he returns and he rules and reigns. So from the time of the rapture, we do know his return, but we don't know the time of the rapture. When's the rapture going to occur? Well, it could occur today. Could occur a year from now. Could occur 10 years from now. All we know is that we're waiting for the rapture to occur. And from the rapture, the time that God raptured or Jesus raptures his church, there's going to be a 7 year tribulation, a 7 year period of judgment. But until that time of judgment, we're in a time of mercy. This is a time of mercy, which we're going to talk about. Long-suffering of the Lord, okay? So, in verse 36, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows," because we don't know the day of the rapture, "not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now, notice verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So, we don't know the day or the hour, but what's the sign? As the days of Noah. Right? That's the sign of the time, that the end is near. Now, what were the days of Noah like? We have to read the book of Genesis, right? But I have this passage memorized in my mind. Now, I have a hard time memorizing other scripture, but this one sticks in my mind because it's so, so powerful in terms of the evilness that's happening on the earth, the time just prior to the flood, the days of Noah. Remember, every thought of the inclination of man was only evil continually. Think about that. Every thought of the inclination of man was only evil continually. That's pretty bad. Sound familiar? Sounds a little bit like the day we're living in today, right? And what happened? In the time of Noah, judgment came. The Lord's mercy waited until that time when every thought of the inclination of man was only evil continually. Then he judged the earth. He judges the earth with water. That's what he's talking about. That's one of the signs. When wrong becomes right, and right becomes wrong, and it's on kind of a world's kind of wide type of application. That's what we see today. You think about it. And actually, it's even seeping into the church. And that's a warning that Paul gave in 2 Thessalonians, right? This falling away, right? Talks about when this man of sin or the man of perdition would appear, right? When this strong delusion comes. He talks about this in 2 Thessalonians, right? We're seeing that today, aren't we? The days of Noah. So these are the signs that Jesus said to look out for. And when you see this happening, then the time is near. So we don't know the exact day. We don't know the exact year, month, right? Or anything like that. But we do know that these signs are kind of appearing. So he says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the son, well, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Okay, so he's saying, just like it was in the days of Noah, right? That as the flood came, there were those that they were just living like normal, right? They're thinking, hey, nothing's going to happen. And this is the warning that Peter gives us, right? These ones are saying, hey, where's the Lord's return? Nothing's happened. Everything's the same. We can do what we want to do, right? We can kind of do all the things that the world does, right? And nothing's going to happen. No accountability. This is what they were saying in the days of Noah. This is exactly what they're saying today. I mean, all the things that are going on in the world today, in our country today, right? In our communities. You look at, oh my goodness, what's happening, right? Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. This is just like the days of Noah. This is a sign that the Lord is coming quickly, okay? Now, verse 40 says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Now, what does he mean that? One will be taken, one will left. Well, in the context here, right? The one taken and the one left. The one was taken into what? Judgment, right? All the flood. The flood covered the earth, right? And it took all those into judgment. But the ones that were left were Noah and his what? Family. And they lived on into the new world, so to speak, right? The world after the flood. And so it's going to be like us. When the Lord comes, right? There's going to be one taken, one left. The ones that are going to be taken are the ones taken into judgment. They're going to go into the tribulation, right? They're going to be taken into judgment. But then the ones that are left are the ones that are going to survive, right? And they're going to go into what? Inhabit the millennial kingdom, right? And so we see the similarity here. Just like in the days of Noah. One's going to be taken off into judgment. One's going to be left to inhabit the millennial kingdom. So we're going to be what? Those. We're going to rule and reign with Christ into the millennium, right? And so it says these two men, right? One in the field will be left and then the other be taken. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Now, he says in verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So we need to be watching. We need to be waiting, right, for the Lord. We know that his promise is going to come, that he is going to return. We don't know the day or hour, but we need to be watching. We need to be ready. That's what Jesus is describing. And now verse 43 says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, verse 44, you also be ready. Are you ready? Let me ask you this year, are you ready for the Lord's return? Be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And so what Peter is describing as you turn back now to 2 Peter, excuse me. What he's describing in chapter 3 is just that there's going to be a day of reckoning and many are not ready. Knowing what? The time that we're living in, right? We need to be ready. We need to be watching. And that's what Jesus described. When the Son of Man comes, he's going to come at a time that is not expected. Now, let me ask you this, and I've asked you this before. It's just something to ponder, right? If, now we don't know the day or the hour, but let's say we did know that Jesus was coming the first day of 2022. So that gives us a year. Now, let me ask you this. Would you be living this year, 2021, a little bit different? If you knew for a fact that Jesus was coming 1 year from now, how would you live this year? Well, I got to tell you, probably differently. Right? But isn't this what Jesus is describing? You need to be ready. You need to be watching, right? Priorities have probably changed. For many, even in the church, right? We think we have an infinite amount of time. Well, we don't. We don't have an infinite amount of time. We need to be ready. Jesus can come at any time. And when he does come and rapture this church, then we know 7 years from that day, right? 7 year tribulation will start. 7 years, Jesus is going to return. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, right? So we need to know the signs of the time. We need to be ready. And this is what Jesus described, and this is also what Peter is describing in this passage. Knowing the time, knowing the signs of the time, right? The truth, knowing the truth, sets us free. As we know the truth that the time is coming, the clock is ticking. We don't know the exact day or the hour, but we know it's coming. we ought to live our lives accordingly. And this is what we're going to see when the day comes, right? Things are going to change. We're going to see that next week, right? Knowing the day. Verses 10 through 13, we're going to see next week, okay? Knowing the day. All right, so I want to highlight just another scripture to you. You can read this in your own time. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37, mark this in your note. It's Luke's recording of Jesus' same teaching that we just read in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Luke records this teaching as well, but he adds a little bit more of what Jesus shared. And what Jesus shared, not only does he record Luke, the account of the days of Noah, but also the account of Lot. And he adds that to it. And so he says, just like in the days of Lot. Now, what happened in the days of Lot? Remember, Lot, he's delivered, right? And then judgment comes. But judgment doesn't come until he removes the righteous. And the reason I wanted to mark that to you in Luke's gospel is that, remember in chapter 2, we covered this 2 weeks ago. Peter, he highlighted the days of Noah and the days of Lot as well. That's in chapter 2, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. 4, 5, 6. He highlights both the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And I wanted to bring that to your attention to connect it to the Gospel of Luke. When in the Gospel of Luke, Luke is describing Jesus' same teaching that we just read in Matthew chapter 24 in the Olivet Discourse. But he adds the account of Lot as well. And the reason I wanted to kind of draw your attention to that is that notice the parallels here, right? In 2 Peter chapter 2, the reason why Peter brought that up, he's in the context of these false teachers. During this time, just like in the days of Noah, just like in the days of Lot, which I believe is just like in the days we are today, right has become wrong, wrong has become right, all these false teachers are going to come up. And this is what Peter highlighted. Just like in those days, Peter's saying that, note this, one of the signs of the times that the end is near is that just like in the times of Noah and the times of Lot, all these false teachers are going to come up, these counterfeits. They're going to sound just like the real, but they're not going to be it. And this is what he warned in chapter 2. Chapter 2, specifically in verses 4 through 7, he highlights the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And so I wanted to draw that to your attention as well, that we're in those days, people. That's the sign that the end is near. And so we don't know the exact day. We don't know the exact hour. But we do know that we're getting closer and closer. You know, think about our year last year, 2020. Could you ever imagine that we wouldn't be doing church as a public assembly in this country? Can you ever imagine that? The things that have changed, and they just changed so rapidly. Could you imagine that you can't go to a restaurant and have a meal? A lot of these liberties have been what? Taken away. Now, we understand why, the reasons that they're giving us, but just think about the liberties that have been taken away, especially for the church. We can't even gather. Think about it. We have to fight to gather. Now, it's not just the church, I know, it's a lot of different groups, but you see how it's come in, right? You see how it's come in where it's affecting the church. You think about it. Just what's happened in the past year. Boy, we need to be ready. Know the signs, right? We need to be ready. We need to know the signs of the time. Now, let's get into our text, chapter 3, verse 1. So knowing the time, or knowing the signs of the time, this is what Peter is describing, right? And so he begins to unfold that to us in chapter 3. He says, verse 1, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. I want to talk about this word beloved. In the Greek, it's agapetus. A-G-A-P-A-T-U-S, agapetus. And it literally means favorite. And I love this. See, he's warning the church. He's saying, my favorites. I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. I want to remind you of this. Don't forget that Jesus is coming. Live as if you know that Jesus is coming tomorrow. Don't forget this, because the false teachers, they're going to try to say, hey, where is the Lord's coming? Been talking about this forever. Hasn't come. Right? So you might as well live like us. Live for the world. Live for the flesh. Or maybe he's coming, but he's not going to come for another 100 years, another 1,000 years, right? You're going to be well gone by then, right? So might as well live just like us. That's what they're telling them, right? And so what Peter is warning, he says, his beloved, he says, my favorites, I now write to this letter to remind you that, you know what? Jesus is coming. You can trust his word. And you need to live trusting his word. We need to live knowing that Jesus can come at any time, right? And so he says, I stir up your pure minds. Now this word pure literally means tested by sunlight, right? So your pure minds, right? The transparency of this, right? Tested by sunlight, your pure minds by way of reminder. I want to remind you of this, of his promise that he's going to come again, right? Don't live like these hidden secret things, like these false teachers, right? Be transparent. I want to remind your, what? Your pure minds that Jesus is coming again. Now, verse 2 says, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So, I want to remind you, your pure minds, right? Tested by sunlight, transparent. I want to remind you what the Word of God says. And he says, go back to the prophets. Go back to what we've taught you as apostles. The Word of God tells of the second coming of Christ, of Messiah. Now, I want to mark this to you. Israel. Israel's still waiting for their Messiah, right? But they are waiting for a Messiah that comes to rule and reign as king. They missed Messiah coming the first time to what? To die for the sins of the world. Now, it's all over their scriptures as well. We've been talking about this in our study of Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah talks about what? The servant of the Lord. There's a suffering servant, right? Which is Messiah. And you can read all these different scriptures. Isaiah 53, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But we've read many thus far. The suffering servant. But we're reading about Isaiah and how there's a day of the Lord. Remember that? What's the day of the Lord? That's when judgment comes, and that's when he begins to what? Rule and reign. That's where Israel kind of focuses on. But what they miss is the first coming of Christ, right? Where he comes as the perfect sacrifice to remove their sin. Now, Jeremiah prophesies it. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, right? I'm going to write my law and the commands on their heart. He's speaking of the new covenant. We know that Israel is going to receive Jesus as Messiah in the latter days. But we also know that Jesus is going to rule and reign into the millennial kingdom. The 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ, right? That's where Israel is really focused on, but they miss the first coming. Right? How is he going to rule and reign physically unless he rules and reigns in their life spiritually? Right? We know that as a church, right? We become born again. He rules and reigns in us spiritually. And then when he comes again, he looks for the Holy Spirit and all those that he's ruling and reigning through the Spirit. And he gives them now a physical resurrected body to rule and reign with him physically. So we know how that's put together. But that's all written in, all prophesied in the Old Testament. Remember Psalm 22? My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm of David, speaking of the cross. He would die for the sins of the world to rule and reign spiritually so that he would rule and reign physically to give them the resurrected, when he gives them the resurrected body. So we see that the holy prophets talked about this. Isaiah, we're studying Isaiah on Wednesday nights, speaks about this. Over and over again, remember the near term and the far term? The far term is all the latter days, the day of the Lord. Right? Every time you see the day of the Lord referenced in Isaiah, you might want to highlight it. But I got to tell you, you can't even count it. There's so many times. The day of the Lord is speaking when he's going to rule and reign. Right? And so we see here, right, in verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. I want to remind you of these things. Make sure your minds are tested by these things, brought out into the sunlight, right? Learn the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now notice it says, and of the commandment of us, the apostles. When did the apostles talk about the second coming? Well, all over their letters. All over. Paul, right? And we see that even Peter speaking about it. Now we see that John speaks out in the book of Revelation, right? This whole part about him coming again, right? And when he comes again, he's going to judge. As I mentioned, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Paul talks about this extensively. Many refer to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians as Paul's end times letters, because so much is talked about it. Remember I mentioned that 2nd Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 through 12, he talks about the falling away before the man of sin comes, before the son of perdition comes. Who's he referring to? The Antichrist, right? He talks about a strong delusion that even those in the church are going to believe, right? And he speaks about this in terms of the latter days. This is Paul, right? And as I mentioned, John wrote the book of Revelation. From Revelation chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19, talks about this 7-year tribulation period where judgment comes upon the earth. Okay, so we see that the scriptures, the totality of scripture talks about this, and Paul is highlighting this. He says that to be mindful of these words that the prophets spoke of, and we too as apostles. And then he says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You see what these false teachers are going to question? Why hasn't he come yet? Where's the promise? And what does Peter say? Hey, go back to the word of God. What does it say in the prophets? What does it say that we taught you? But the scoffers are going to question this. And you've heard this kind of scoffing. Hey, where's the Lord? Why isn't the Lord doing anything? Why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he fix this mess, right? That's what the scoffers are saying. And he's saying these false teachers, this is what they're presenting, right? In these latter days, they're going to ask this. They're going to question this, right? And they're going to tempt you to live like them. And so even these false teachers, even though they come with spiritual words, they're not really believing the Lord's return, because if they did, they wouldn't be teaching false doctrine, right? Why do they teach false doctrine? For their own motives. But if they knew that the Lord was going to return, let's say in a day, let's say in a year, right? They wouldn't be doing this. See, they really don't believe it. And so they're not really being held accountable to it because they don't believe it. And they're trying to lead you astray. Where is the Lord? Well, even if the Lord comes, he's not going to come in your lifetime. So might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Live like me, right? That's what they're tempting you and I with, right? They're saying, where is the promise of his coming? Notice this, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Right? All these ones have died. Moses. All the Old Testament saints have died. David's died, right? Joshua's died. All the New Testament saints. Paul's dead. Peter's dead. You see, James has died. He's saying, they all fell asleep, and the world still goes on and on. Jesus hasn't returned. You see what they're doing? It says, verse 5, for this they willfully forget. Notice they willfully forget this, though. They choose to forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water, right? They choose to forget that judgment is going to come. They choose to not recognize that, you know what? God did come to judge in the days of Noah. Remember in the days of Noah, Peter even mentioned this, right? It says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached righteousness for 120 years. It's a lot of preaching, right? A lot of waiting for repentance. He preached repentance during that time he built the ark. But they willfully chose not to listen to him, right? He's saying it's the same today. These false teachers, right? They're willfully choosing to not pay attention that God is going to come. Jesus is going to come. He's going to judge this world. We know this is going to happen at the rapture of the church. He's going to remove the righteous, and then judgment is going to be administered upon this earth. It's to purge this earth from sin so that when he returns, he's going to rule and reign with his bride, the church. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And he's going to rule with righteousness. But before that, he's going to purge this earth from sin. Well, what these false teachers are saying is that, hey, where is that? It's not going to happen. What Peter says, Well, it happened in the day of Noah. And it happened also in the day of what? Of Lot, didn't it? Now, they were saying the same thing. Hey, why are you building this ark? 120 years, hasn't even rained. What are you talking about? Aren't they saying the same thing today? You see, we have to recognize the similarities, people. We have to recognize the signs. They're the same. So that's telling that judgment is right around the corner. The time of mercy is going to end. We're still in a time of mercy. But there's going to be a day when mercy ends and God is going to administer judgment upon this earth. Verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment. Notice, reserved for fire, right? It's coming. What does reservation mean? That it's coming. And perdition of ungodly men. So judgment is going to come. Don't mistake the Lord's long suffering, his mercy for him not coming. The Lord is not slack, as we're going to see. Verse 8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Isn't that interesting? Now, I wrote a little bit about this in your bulletin summary. You know, we think it's a long time, don't we, right? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is a long time. But really, it's relative to our lifespan. Think about this. I gave this example in the bulletin summary, but think about a 2-year-old. A 2-year-old that's going to wait for Christmas in 12 months. That's half their lifespan. That's why it seems so long for them. But what about somebody like our age? It's a blip on the screen, right? Doesn't the years go by faster the older you get? Why? Because it's a smaller percentage of your age as you get older. So a 2-year-old is half their lifespan. 1 year, well, that's forever. That's why, oh my goodness, when's Christmas coming? When's my birthday coming? But for those of us who are in our 70s and 80s or whatever, boy, pretty quick, isn't it? Now think about God. How old is God? Well, God is forever, isn't he? So 1,000 years to God? Oh my goodness, it's just like a blip on the screen. A day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. So God is not rushed. God doesn't think it's forever, right? It's just a blip on the screen. And so we should recognize that. Just because it seems like, well, God hasn't come. Jesus hasn't come. It's been a long time. It's not a long time for the Lord. Now, I want to qualify this too. This whole thing about time. Knowing the time. We think in terms of years, months, weeks, days. Right? The time of his coming. Now, the interesting thing is, and I want to mark this to you. This is referred to in Matthew chapter 13. In the parable of the dragnet. It's the last of the 7 parables in the Matthew 13 parables on the kingdom of heaven. It records the parable of the dragnet. And the sense is this, when the time of the end comes, it's when that last fish is pulled into the dragnet that is predestined to be saved. So, really, the year, the month, the week, the day, and the hour, it really is secondary. Now, there will be a year that it happens. There will be a month and a week, a day and an hour, a minute, a second that it happens when Jesus comes again. We'll record that. But really what takes precedence is that last person that's predestined to be saved. So that's what the Lord is waiting for. He's waiting for that last fish to come into that net. And once he comes into it, then the end is going to come. Then we'll record the year, the month, the week, the day, the hour. But really, it's not about that time. It's about when that last person is saved, predestined to be saved. And so that's what the Lord is waiting for. And he's mercifully waiting. His mercy, he's long-suffering. Now think about this. If it wasn't for God's mercy, long-suffering, if he would have came like 20 years ago, where would you be? Where would I be? We'd be destined to eternal damnation. You see why the Lord is waiting. And that's why it says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The Lord is not slack. You and I are slack. Or if you're like me, I'm slack, right? All these things I have to do, right? I look in the mirror. I'm supposed to do this. Well, I'm slack. I'm lazy. I don't do it. Well, the Lord is not slack. The Lord is not lazy. His timing is right on time. His timing is perfect. He's waiting for that last person that he knows is going to choose him. And when that person chooses him, that's what he's waiting for. That last person he knows, he's predestined to come in. That's what he's waiting for. Aren't you glad he waited for you? Very thankful, right? And so the Lord is not slack. And so when these false teachers say, hey, where's the Lord? They say, hey, you know, the Lord is waiting maybe for you to come in and repent. That's what he's waiting for. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Another word for long-suffering is mercy. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to note that. God is not willing that any should perish. So he's going to wait until that last person he knows is supposed to come is going to come in. Now, that could be tomorrow. That could be in a year. That could be 10 years. That could be 100 years away. Now, I don't think so because of the signs, right? He says, know the signs. But know this, God is not on your timetable. We're on God's timetable. And we need to be ready. Because the time of the rapture can come at any moment. And so we need to be living as if it's going to come at any moment. And that's knowing the time, people, is being ready. Being ready. Being watchful. So that when the Lord comes, right, we'll be ready for him. Next week, we're going to look at knowing the day of the Lord, what to look for. This is knowing the time, being ready. As we looked at 2 Peter, right, there's knowing the truth, chapter 1. There's knowing the counterfeit, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Knowing the way we covered last week. Knowing the time this morning. Next week, we're going to know the day. Knowledge, right? Knowing the truth. As we know the truth, we'll know the counterfeit. And so, I want to mark this to you next week. Knowing the day of the Lord, we'll see what those are. All the different signs pointing to the day of the Lord, all right? Let's pray, Lord. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the knowledge, that you give us the truth. You say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we know the truth by knowing you, Jesus. And help us to know, help us to be ready, to know the signs. Help us to be living our lives knowing. Not just with a hope. We do have hope, Lord, but to know that our hope will be fulfilled when you return, to know that you're going to return. Help us to live knowing that. And help us to live like it could be at any time, any moment. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be ready. But I believe we are in those days. Just like the days of Noah. Just like the days of Lot, Lord. Where right has become wrong and wrong has become right. But we need to be looking up for our redemption, the full redemption, the rapture of the church is near. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.